Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
Hi, Dr. Doom. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie and crew.
Hello.
Hi. So I'm flying right after the show, and I have to tell you, I'm, as you know, I've had COVID, and I've been triple vaxxed, and I'm still nervous because of all the people that are, you know, as we've been talking about for a year now, unvaccinated in the midst of this Delta variant, which is so highly transmissible. And I get it that I'm more protected probably than most people, but I also have PTSD from getting it last holiday season when I traveled to see my mom, and I don't want to get it again. But I you know, I just wonder, you saw Secretary Buttigieg said that he was asked, why is not vaccination required to fly? And, you know, he basically just said the masking and they think they have other blah, blah, blah. But I could not disagree more. What do you think about that?
I agree with you. I think at this point, it's time to start requiring vaccinations wherever and whenever we can, including, you know, the federal government's got a lot of control over flying, that whole industry. And they could easily institute a vaccine requirement. And that would actually put a lot of people in the position of, if you want to go wherever it is you want to go, you got to go get those shots. And that would make everybody, people like you who are vaccinated and need to go someplace, it would give you a level of comfort. And it's incredible to me that they won't do that.
Yeah.
They should do that.
I don't get it, how they can require it for international travel and people coming into the United States, but not domestically. Is it just political? Is it fear of this, you know, the idiot right-wing backlash that would obviously ensue?
Well, that might be a little bit of it, but what they're going to get is a tremendous amount of pushback just in general from industries, which is happening now. You know that in January, the new rule is going to be instituted by the president, by the White House, that will require any employer with more than 100 employees to have a vaccine mandate in place. And there's going to be tremendous number of legal challenges to that from some businesses and from some states and so on. So this is not, it's not easy. It's not easy for the federal government to institute a policy like this.
Yeah.
And it's not just the right wings. It's the people who don't want to be told to get vaccinated.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
I mean, the numbers are so clear. You saw this latest thing, of course, from the CDC. The risk of dying from COVID is 14 times higher for unvaccinated people than it is for fully vaccinated people, according to new data. I mean, it's just, you're running out of things to say to people that choose to remain unvaccinated. And I mean, for instance, people like Jim Jordan, we have like Republican congressmen who didn't divulge to anybody that he had COVID. You know, which is, he makes the case exactly why there need to be mask mandates, because he apparently had it this summer and didn't disclose it to anybody. And this is what I'm afraid of. I'm going to be in an airport and on a plane today with people that didn't have to be tested, don't have to be vaccinated, could have COVID and know it, I mean, or not know it, right?
Right. But you you had vaccine and you had the natural disease. So your level of antibody should be really high and protective. But the other thing, Steph, is for everybody to be very serious about masking.
Yeah.
And to be, you know, careful and leave the mask off for the entire flight. Maybe take it off very quickly to get something to eat. And bringing your own food on the plane. I mean, there are things you can do to make sure that you, in particular, you personally are safe. And I think that's what we're seeing a lot of people trying to do.
I'm such a freak. I bring my food for the whole week. I'm so persnickety. But last time, and I'm not making this up. Yes, I do. I'm not making this up. Last time, the guy sitting next to me on the plane had a motorcycle helmet on and no mask. The mask was on his chin. But he did have a motorcycle helmet on. So that's...
That helps.
Okay. So did you hear, Seven, from this anti-vax doctors COVID conference fell sick within days, to hear the fringe doctors who gathered at an equine facility, because of course, for the Florida COVID summit earlier this month, ivermectin is as effective against the virus in humans as it is against worms and horses. I've been on ivermectin for 16 months, my wife and I, said Dr. Bruce Boros. I've never felt healthier in my life. 2 days later, the 71-year-old cardiologist fell ill with COVID. I know I was going to leave you in suspense for a minute. Six others also tested positive or developed COVID symptoms within days of the conference. People are considering if it was a super spreader event. I know it's fringe, Doc, but what do you make of these doctors that are spreading this nonsense?
Yeah, well, what doctors don't have immunity to is stupidity and ignorance. And political extremism. And there's plenty of doctors in the field who fit one of those categories, you know, and it's embarrassing as a physician to acknowledge that. But the fact of the matter is, you just because you get an MD, it doesn't mean that you have some kind of stupidity antibody.
We should we should understand that, because I'm a radio host and so is Alex Jones. So, you know, I know you can't be responsible for everyone in your profession. But yeah, I mean, it's funny. Part of it, Boros remains seriously ill at his Key West home. He's how he's faring remains the question of why he became seriously ill in the first place, if ivermectin is the wonder drug the anti-vaccine crowd claims it is. I mean, the problem is, this probably will have no effect. The guy that was touting the ivermectin and now is sick and could die with COVID. I mean, it doesn't seem to affect them that like he's just disproven their whole point, right?
You know, ideological and conspiracy-based beliefs, like religion, basically, are very, very hard to break. And I don't care what profession you are, what your IQ is, there are people who just get fixated on a point of view and they're not going to change. And it's terribly frustrating, especially since we know that this pandemic is not going away anytime soon. And the cure really is going to be getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're not even talking about a booster shot. And we're just talking about it's a three vaccine series. In other words, it's not a luxury add-on here. This is getting that third shot is part of what we do to keep us all safe from COVID-19. So, I mean, we got so many messages that are out there too. That's the other thing, Steph. It's exhausting for people who are working in the field and for the general public. Yeah.
And we have not, unfortunately, the vaccines have not outrun the variant. The variant has outrun the vaccines.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You just said something incredibly depressing and doomy before we got on air. You said you think we're going to be dealing with this for how much longer?
2 or 3 years.
I live in hell!
It's going to be a long haul. And the reason is, there's a couple of reasons. One is vaccine resistance. And the other is, in places where there are low vaccines, and even more so, that's the case in places like Africa and Southeast Asia. there you have the virus running rampant, mutating like it was going out of style. And eventually those mutations will get to, you know, Europe and to the United States. And the big fear, I just want to put a capper on this doominess because it's true. The big fear is that there will be a mutation that is resistant to vaccines.
Yeah.
And that is something we're going to, you know, people are keeping an eye on. And, you know, we got to be serious about what we're going to do to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
This goes for the vaccinated as well as the non-vax.
Sadly, you are always right. You were the one that told us, just go ahead and get the booster before. And we were, you know, we already went ahead and did that, you know, because we felt like, look, we work in a work situation that we wanted.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that it's great that, you know, and then states obviously got ahead of really the FDA, CDC. So I'm glad they finally, you know, clarified it, because it seems like, I mean, Dr. Fauci is saying right now, fully vaccinated is still considered the two mRNAs but I feel like clearly it's going to change. It's great. You're fully vaccinated is really going to mean with the booster, isn't it?
That's exactly the case. It's correct. The problem is we have so many people who haven't gotten shot number one.
Right.
That talking about shot number three is, like I said, it is exhausting. And, you know, you don't know where to how to put those messages out. If you're the federal government, your focus still needs to be on people who are not vaccinated to get their first series, the original two.
Yeah.
Everyone else needs the three. And we're still working on getting the children vaccinated.
Yeah.
So, you know, can you imagine being in charge of COVID messaging in the White House? It's just, you know, you're constantly pulling your hair out.
And, Doc, I thought of you with, you know, comments the vice president made yesterday, and also that the work you've been doing with Cher to get people in underserved communities vaccinated. There was a great piece in the Root yesterday, the COVID-19 vaccine reality no one's talking about, and it's in Black and brown communities. And it talks about one man in particular that got COVID and didn't make it. He was 61 years old. He was Black. He was unvaccinated. This sad story reverberates across America. He was not unvaccinated by choice. He was unvaccinated by circumstance. His wife got her COVID vaccine through her job in public transportation. He was a contractor on the south side of Chicago, faced significant barriers to getting his COVID vaccine, including a lack of transportation, access to care, the ability to take time off work. And so that's what, you know, this whole story was about. Despite the widespread availability of vaccine, many still have difficulty accessing them through no fault of their own, a fact that remains especially true in the Black and brown communities. So that, I mean, so you're right. And those are people that haven't even had one shot yet, correct?
Right. And by the way, it's crazy. It's alarming that we are not able to assure availability of vaccine in every single community, every block in America. It should be as easy as buying the morning newspaper that you just walk into some place and get a vaccine. And theoretically, the drugstore chains were supposed to be providing that. But in some communities, like you said, it is just not working. You know, they have a special division.
And that's white privilege. That's white privilege going, why don't you just go to your doctor or go to the CVS or whatever?
And
I mean, this story real quick says policies that allow for time off school or work to get vaccinated. Mobile vaccination sites that bring vaccines to Black and brown communities are a good way to start. In the meantime, it remains essential the healthcare community remain aware of the disparities that persist. And that's, again, part of the work you've been doing, right?
Exactly. And, you know, it's just a shame. And, you know, the thing is that Cher has been fantastic in helping to make that happen. But at the end of the day, it's going to take government to eliminate some of those barriers and make access to vaccine absolutely ubiquitous and easy and free. And if we don't do that, we're going to have these lingering problems in the communities that are the most vulnerable. It's kind of sickening.
Can I just say, you and Cher are doing fantastic work, and thank you for that. We had Soledad O'Brien on yesterday, and I loved, she retweeted someone that said, Vice President Kamala Harris to announce historic $1.5 billion investment to help grow and diversify the nation's healthcare workforce, bolster equitable healthcare, this stuff we're just talking about. And Soledad said, healthcare, this seems important. I wonder if it'll get the same focus that an alleged narrative of a feud will get. Well, the media is going to, you know, focus on an imaginary feud between Harris and Biden rather than saying, look what she just announced to bring parity in terms of, you know, healthcare and vaccinations in the Black community.
Yeah. So, Yeah, I mean, she's been put in a kind of a terribly difficult situation. Again, through no fault of her own, she's a brilliant leader,
yeah,
and has got a lot of ability to make things happen. And the media keeps characterizing her somehow in a kind of a blood feud with the president of the United States, which is absurd, and you know, just frustrating. Who needs that now? You
know, yeah, exactly.
We have real problems to deal with.
So thankful for you, Doc. Everybody says how thankful you are that you've literally helped them and saved lives. So thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Mask up for Dr. Redlener this Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Thanks so much, honey. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye. You too. Bye, guys.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.